And one of the axes are in my mind these days. And, you know, taxes go way back, don't they? They say that you only have to do two things in life. That is die and pay taxes. And that's almost true. And so the thing is, Jesus said to give taxes. He said, you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. But the thing is, Caesar cannot ask for oppressively great amounts of taxes and oppress the people. That's not Caesar's to demand. And so in our history of the United States, taxes have played a very big role. In the American Revolution, it was taxation without representation. The Boston Tea Party, it was about taxes. And then in the time of Andrew Jackson, and again in the Civil War, it was taxes again with tariffs. And the people fought against high tariffs on imports to protect the factories in the North, and the Southerners ended up having to pay those. And that was probably the biggest issue in the war was tariffs, not the slavery issue, although that was still an issue too. But anyway, it has been brought back down to my neck of the woods, local, very as local as you can get. There, I live in Smyrna, Delaware, and just recently the town council voted to double our taxes in one shot. Double them. And so anyway, that's getting pretty oppressive taxation, I believe. And of course, we have people moving to Delaware from New York and New Jersey because it's less taxes there. But they're going to do their best to catch up. And so this past week, I was doing my civic duty, and I was passing out flyers around the town there about these raised taxes. And there's an election for council members this coming Tuesday. And so we're trying to get those council members voted out who put in that tax, and hopefully the rest of them will get the message that they need to get rid of that tax. But anyway, so you can pray for that for the election on Tuesday, too. But anyway, let's go to our Bibles, to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 16. And today we come to Ahaz. Ahaz. There's a very great phrase there in 2 Chronicles. We read it in our responsive reading. This is that King Ahaz. And he's not known for good reasons. He's known for bad reasons. Ahaz, king of Judah. And let's bow in a word of prayer, O Lord. Just bless our study of thy word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So anyway, Ahaz comes on the scene. We've been going through the book of 2 Kings. And we've been seeing all the ungodly kings. A few of them godly, but most of them ungodly. And we're dealing with Judah today, the southern kingdom. Of course, there were the two kingdoms, Judah and Israel, Israel in the north. And just before Ahaz, we have chapter 15, we have Jotham. Do you know why Jotham is a significant person at this moment in time to my family? Well, that's because we've got a new grandson named Jotham. And for some reason, my son decided that that would be a good name to name the grandson Jotham down in Florida. And he said one reason they named him Jotham was because there's nothing bad in Scripture about Jotham. Although there's very little in Scripture of any kind about Jotham. And right here in chapter 15, all it tells us is that he reigned. It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's it. And that also says that they still had false worship going on in the high places. So I wouldn't say that there was nothing bad about him. He would let this high place worship go on. But there's not too much about him. But there's not too much about him at all. So that brings us to Ahaz. Ahaz. Let's go to chapter 16 and verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him at that point. Well, anyway, here we have Ahaz. What kind of king was Ahaz? Well, Ahaz was a bad king, a very bad king. He walked in all the bad ways of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel. And what does it tell us that he does here? He does old-fashioned abortions here, in that he passes his son through the fire and burns up his son in worship of false gods. Ahaz. You know, we were just talking about the birth center, the pregnancy help center, and that's because of the curse of abortion today, and they had the same curse back here with Ahaz. And it says that these sins of abortion, of killing their children, were like there were in Israel before Joshua came in with the children of Israel. Why did Joshua slaughter the inhabitants of Israel? It seems very cruel many times when we look at that. But one big reason is they were sacrificing their children, they were burning them up, and they were having human sacrifice. And so God didn't want any of that around. God was executing his judgment against them with Joshua. And here we have also Ahaz continued the practices of Jotham before him, and the people of Judah, they sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, verse 4, and the hills and under every green tree. They were supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but they worshiped on every high hill and under every green tree. Well, then Ahaz, one big thing with his history is God judges Ahaz for all of his sins and brings all kinds of enemies against him. And so here it talks about verse 5 that God brings the Syrians and the northern kingdom of Israel against him to execute judgment. They besieged Ahaz. They couldn't overcome him at this point, but later on they did. Then let's skip down to verse 7. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin, the king of the Syrians. So Ahaz has God bringing all these enemies against him because of his sin. God does judge sin, and God does bring enemies against him, the Syrians and also Israel. But who does Ahaz look to for help when he has these troubles, when he has these enemies? Does he look to God? No, he doesn't look to God. He looks to the big power of that time, Assyria, to help him. And why would Assyria help him? Because he was going to give the king of Assyria a bunch of money. And where did he get the money from? From the temple. And he took the gold and silver out of the temple, gave it to the Assyrians to help him against his enemies. Well, they did help him, but you know, this is what we're going to look at today, is it better to do right or do what gives success? Well, it's better to do what's right. Now here, Ahaz, he got success when he paid off the Assyrians, but it wasn't the right thing to do. He should have looked to God for his help. You might say, oh, well, God supplied the Assyrians to help him. I don't think so. Is that he should look to God? When we need help today, who should we look to? We should look to God. We should not look to the doctors. We should not look to the insurance companies. We should not look to the government. We should look, first of all, to God. God. And so here we have Ahaz. He got success, got rid of his enemies, but he wasn't looking to the right place. He wasn't doing right. And then we go on here, verse 10. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was in Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship therein. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus to Urijah the priest. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. Well, Ahaz, he goes down and down and down. And so he has his abortion with his son, kills his son. He looks to the Assyrians. He pays them money out of the temple. And then finally, he's there in Syria. In Damascus, you know, Damascus is still in the news today, with Syria. But anyway, he goes to Damascus there, and he sees a heathen altar there, and he decides he likes the looks of that heathen altar. And he likes the gods of Syria. And so he says, he sends back to his priest, and the priest makes up a heathen altar, and Ahaz comes back and worships at the heathen altar. This is that King Ahaz. Well, now let's go over to the parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we have the parallel account of Ahaz, which has some more details about Ahaz. You know, we have parallel accounts in Kings and also in Chronicles. And these stories are redoubled. Why does God double stories? Well, God doubles stories, just like back with Joseph. God doubled the dreams to Pharaoh, and Joseph said he doubled the dreams so that Pharaoh might be sure of what would happen. They might pay attention to it. And God gives us double the history of the kings that we might pay attention to it. And here we have 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 3. Some more of that same history. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Well, then we have some extra here, which we didn't have in 2 Kings. And here we have wherefore. What's the wherefore there for? Wherefore. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus, and he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. So here God is judging Ahaz by Israel and by Syria. And they smite the people of Judah with a great slaughter. And we don't have to wonder about why this happened. It said, wherefore? Because of all of his sin, God brought all these things upon him. So then verse 6, for Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Well, there you have it. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And they, Judah and Ahaz, they had 120,000 killed in battle in one day. That has to be one of the biggest battles of history so far as losses to one side in one day. That's a lot of people to lose in one day, 120,000. And, you know, the thing is, you can have 120,000 lost over a period of time, which isn't too uncommon in warfare, but here in one day. And then we go on to verse 8. Besides that, and the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000, women, sons, daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. So Ahaz was in bad shape. He had 120,000 of his army killed in this battle, and then they carried off captive 200,000 off to the northern kingdom. Well, we won't go into the whole history of this here. It goes on in this passage, but it talks about that they were bringing all those 200,000 captives back, but then a prophet was there and told them not to bring those captives back. And for some reason, the northern kingdom actually paid attention to the prophet and sent the captives back home again. But Ahaz was in great diseases because of his sin. And then let's skip all the way down to verse 16, where we were reading in our responsive reading earlier. Verse 16, in this parallel account of Ahaz. And we read this in the responsive reading. We're not going to read it all, but we want to point out a few things. It says, verse 16, King Ahaz, he sent unto the kings of Assyria to help him. And so he had all kinds of enemies coming against him. Not only did he have Israel in the north coming down against him, he had Syria coming out against him, but he also had, verse 17, the Edomites had come in. And the Edomites were those that lived up in the rocks and the hills. And the ones that you always remember from Indiana Jones, where you have them with the temple carved out of the rock, that's the Edomites. And they smote your Ahaz. And then it has verse 18. Not only was Israel, Syria smiting him, but they had the Philistines also were smiting him. And God brought all these enemies against him, and it's clear because of Ahaz's sin. And then verse 19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Judah. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. And so Ahaz had been relying on the king of Assyria to help, and now the king of Assyria was giving him troubles too. Distressed him. And then verse 21, and Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. So here's a risk you take. Give all that gold to the king of Assyria and he's not even going to help you. Just take all your silver and gold. And that's what he did. And then verse 22 is a very interesting verse here, very profound. It says, and in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. This is that King Ahaz. He transgressed yet more against the Lord. And then we're going to see about that in the next verse, which is where we want to center on for a while. Next verse, verse 23. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But They were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So the title of the message this morning is Wrong Logic. Ahaz had wrong logic. He thought, he looked at the fact that the Syrians had defeated him, that the Syrians had had success against him. And he thought, why are the Syrians successful? It must be because of their gods. And so he brought the gods of Syria and worshiped them, because he thought that that would help him. He looked at the results. He looked that Syria had good results, therefore he was going to do what Syria did. But he shouldn't have had that logic. You know, results don't always justify what we should do. We need to do what's right, not just what gets results. And we see that all through Scripture, that results don't always follow the same as what you do. On the good side, with good people, we had Moses. Remember, he struck the rock. Did he have success when he struck the rock? Yeah, he had great success. The water came out abundantly. And so you should think, well, he must have done right, but he didn't do right. And God judged him for it, but he had great success. What about Jonah? Jonah preached to Nineveh, the whole city repented, the greatest single revival of history. And does that show us that Jonah did things right? No. His heart was wicked. His heart wanted them dead. He was very angry when they repented. Well, you know, and then if we do right, does it always follow that we're going to have good results? No. You see that all through Scripture. What about Noah? Noah preached for over 100 years while he was building the ark. How many converts did Noah have? Zero. Besides his own family. Zero. But he preached for 100 years. Now you got to look at that and you got to think, well, you know, they have the old saying, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you're going to get the same results you've always got. Well, you would say, you would look at Noah and say, well, he's been preaching for 100 years. He's gotten no results. He needs to do something else. He needs to do what gets results. But he was doing right. He was preaching the gospel, but it wasn't a time for revival. What about today in the church? You know, people want to do everything by the word pragmatism. Amen. Judge everything by the results. And whatever gets a big crowd, that's what we should do. And as we come to church here on Sunday morning, we've passed these churches along the way, and they have huge crowds. Huge crowds. But what are they giving the people to get those big crowds? Are they doing right? They're giving bread and circuses. They're giving people what they want. They're telling them what they want to hear. They're giving them comfort instead of talking about their sin. They're talking about how God's going to help them here on this earth and not talking about heaven hardly at all. And you know, that's how you get a big crowd. And of course, they measure it. Whatever gets a big crowd, that's what we're going to do. But is it right? And so Ahaz here, he thought, well, if the Syrians had great success, I got to do what the Syrians did. But what does it tell us here? It was the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz should have recognized that the Syrians had success because God was helping them to punish him. And you know, we had in Sunday school this morning, does God use bad things? Does God use the Syrians? They were totally ungodly. But God used them to punish Ahaz and other nations as well. So we can't look just at results to justify what we do. We need to look at what the Bible teaches. We got to look at what we ought to do according to the Bible. And you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, they preached and preached. And what did they get for their preaching? Usually they got killed. Usually they got persecuted. You know, you look even at Jesus himself. He was the perfect example while he was on this earth. What did he get in the end? Crucified. What about John the Baptist? We're told he was a great prophet. What did he get in the end? Got his head chopped off. And so we can't judge what's right by what kind of results you get and whether you get big crowds from it. And so we have to judge things by the Bible. And then I want to look at, just in closing here, at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. At what we're supposed to be looking at today. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so we look to the Bible for what we need to do. And we don't have to go to heaven to find the Bible. We don't have to go down to the deep to find the Bible, to find Christ, to find his word, to find the living word. It's right here. We have it right in our hands. And we need to study this Bible to find out what to do that is right. And not judge things by results like Ahaz did. Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, we just pray that thou bless these thoughts to our hearts. And oh Lord, help us not to judge things by results, but by what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.